Views from the Clutch. I go by the name of Smart Alex. I'm here with my brother from another.
See, Graham, what's good?
And we return with a special trade edition of Views from the Clutch. As always, we like to take this time out to say thank you to our supporters, subscribers, and listeners. If you would like to join them, you could do so by following us on any of the podcasting platforms you enjoy podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music. As an example, you can reach us directly at viewsfromtheclutch@gmail.com. Tag us on social media at Views from the Clutch on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, man. I don't want to hear it, bro. I do not want to hear it. You don't like to talk about the Knicks. We here. I think this is the first episode we've ever done based off a trade going down. And there's been many a trade in the 3+ years we've been doing this. But I'm honored. How are you, my brother?
Everything's good. I'm just it's an interesting trade that happened at this time.
But you got your details up? Can you go ahead and read the trade details to the crowd? I'm not by my computer at the exact Knicks, moment, but I will be shortly.
The New York Knicks have traded RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly, and a second-round draft pick, a Detroit second-round draft pick, to the Toronto Raptors for, drumroll please, OG Anunoble, Precious Achiuwa, and Micah Flynn. So that's the trade that just happened as we're recording less than 2 hours ago. And that's what a lot of Knicks fans have been chiming in, and even fans of the podcast have been asking our thoughts. So that's why we're here to kind of give this special mix to the podcast, a little special segment about talk about this trade. I think it's a trade that you want me to go first?
And just keep... Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. You cooking.
I think from the standpoint of depending on where you view this. If you look at it from the standpoint of Toronto, you are adding a player in RJ Barrett, who is actually born in Canada, Canadian, who's a Canadian player, who who's played for the country. He represents the country in the Olympics.
Most recently defeating the United States.
Yeah. He's a young talent. He has some upside. He's a top two draft pick in one of the most talked about drafts in the last few years. The draft was Zion, Ja Morant. He was drafted number 3. 23 years old. Currently averaging, if I'm not mistaken, he's averaging 18 points a game this year.
I think it's 18-5-2. I'm pretty sure I put that in our chat when we discussed it. It's somewhere around that, 18-5-2.
Mm-hmm. So, they also got Emmanuel Quickly, who's sixth man of the year, always under sixth man of the year considerations, a former sixth man of the year. This is an interesting take because, and I'll talk about that later, but let me just go over it. Emmanuel Quickly, who's definitely a bucket, right?
What's he currently averaging?
He's currently averaging, 15. I think it's like 15. 15 and a half or 14. Yeah, about 15 a game. That's realistically to say 15 points a game. And then the second, the third is Detroit's second round pick. I'm not exactly
in next year's draft.
In June's upcoming draft. Yes, which could be, that could be a big time piece. Because the way Detroit's playing, they're going to have a lot of draft picks. Those picks might be kind of covered it pretty high, or you can use those picks to flip for something else later on down the road for Toronto. That real quick, from a Toronto standpoint, you're getting offense, you're getting a bench guy if you decide to play him or Dennis Schroeder, but you might keep Manny Quickly coming off the bench, but he's going to play the backup role to Dennis Schroeder. But you got instant offense. You got Quickly, who is a lesser defender than OG, but is probably a overall better offensive player than OG. Not from the standpoint of three-point shooting, but overall being able to just average more points per game, he might be hungry to play for his home country and the team for the home team for his country. So he might even be more motivated, and also to show that he was worthy of, you know, being that number three pick behind Zion and John Morant. You know, so he's got some upside to play along, you know, with Scottie Barnes. Not sure exactly what they're going to do with Pascal Siakam, but if you're Toronto, you're trying to retool, stay young, but stay effective and kind of be along that five to eight seed team. I mean, I think that's what they're going for with that move. You're staying somewhat relevant while you're getting a little bit younger and added some more scoring. Now, for the Knicks and receiving OG Anunoby, they get a better defender who was defensive second team last season. He's a better 3-point shooter than RJ Barrett, but offensively, you lose out or scoring wise. And Precious Achiuwa, he's a forward. You know, he's going to play aggressive. He's going to, you know, he's kind of a, I mean, you kind of got a guy like Josh Hart on the team, and he's kind of just a taller version of now, I wouldn't even give him that much credit. Josh Hart is a better offensive rebounder, but Precious Achiuwa is going to play. It'll depend on the minutes with Tibbs. From a standpoint, Tibbs does like defensive players, but I don't really see him getting much light. I mean, he's just going to be on the bench for the guys. I mean, OG is a Tibbs player when it comes to the defensive end, and he's definitely a better defender than RJ or Quickly were. And then Michael Flynn, he's probably just going to compete for, you know, backup minutes, if depending on how they're going to plan on using him. And again, they might not. You just never know what. Sometimes when they make these trades, sometimes they decide to do other things with these players that they receive that aren't the main focal point of the trade. That's from a standpoint of, as a Knicks fan, I really feel like they could have got more for what they gave up. I think when you give up about 30 to 35 points a game,
divided by two players,
right?
who are essentially giving you just about starters minutes.
Yes, but and also who've kind of had their role when you're replacing them with a player or players who don't move the needle offensively. Defensively, yes, OG is definitely a better defender. But I don't feel like their Knicks' biggest problem is offense. They don't have enough consistent offense. They don't have enough consistent shooting. They are too heavily relying on their starters. The thing about it, you get rid of Quickly, who, again, the Quickly's move, I think, was more so because they're not going to pay him in the offseason. And playing him and Brunson at the same time, you're going to give up a little bit too much defensively. And two undersized guys who are undersized players who both need the ball in order to be effective. So that from a standpoint of utilizing Quickly and Brunson at the same time, I don't necessarily know how that weren't that effective with it, or maybe they see it for the foreseeable future since he's going to be a free agent this season. And they kind of talk stalled about re-signing him to a certain number, so they had to move him out. And the thing about it, though, is me personally as a Knicks fan, I felt like the Knicks could have got more for this. I really feel like when you give up the third and fourth scoring options, especially your scoring option off the bench, your number one scoring option off the bench, who has contributed to a lot of games being won, that's to do this to get OG, as that's the coveted piece that you coveted. You've already been rumored to talks of trying to get before. I felt like there was a better deal out there, even if from a standpoint, and again, I haven't looked at the numbers of how it makes sense, but even if you got a OG and possibly another shooter that would have came back, maybe i.e., for example, Gary Trent Jr., you know, or someone else that was on Toronto's team who is a better shooter, because the Knicks' problem is outside shooting. They have a lot of slashers who are being forced to shoot three-pointers, which that's not their strong point. Their strong point is driving to the basket, getting from the within the three-point range to shoot, within the three-point line to shoot, whereas you need players that can extend the defense. that will allow your slashers to slash and allow Randle and Brunson to get to the paint where they can kick it out to consistent shooters. And I don't think OG by himself is not going to replace quickly and RJ Barrett. But like I said, that from the standpoint of as a Knicks fan, I'm definitely not too thrilled. I think it was a move that had to be done. I really feel like RJ was just, he reached his ceiling in New York. I really don't feel like he was going to get much better. We've had a podcast about RJ. We talked about RJ numerous times about not having that New York it wow factor that what's going to separate him and what's going to make him an all-star. We didn't feel, no, I mean, I know I didn't feel like RJ was going to be an all-star while he was playing in New York. So okay, this may be
thank
different.
You. Thank you for qualifying that. Thank you for qualifying that. Keep going, brother. You cooking.
So with that being said, could he now this could give a pathway for him to blossom into the player that was a top three player who didn't necessarily look like, you know, the only out of the top four draft picks, the only one to not make an all-star team, because you had Darius Garland got drafted right after him, who's already been an all-star, who's also a focal point with Cleveland. You got Ja Morant, who's a superstar, one of the faces of the league. Zion, who's one of the faces of the league. RJ's the only one with that missing the all-star, the kind of the growth that, and also, so with the, being on the Knicks, the way that roster was, he was always going to be the third option or get worse. Mm-hmm. So for his take, maybe it's a better move, better scenery, change of scenery for him. Wish him well. Obviously don't wish him well against when he plays the Knicks, but when he plays any other team, do well. But, you know, and the same thing with quickly, like you're going to be a six man, you know, six man of the year contention. And you probably wanted to do more or get paid more. And the Knicks didn't necessarily want to pay him the dollar amount that he might have commanded in the offseason. So you get rid of him now for some pieces that are serviceable right now.
And you remain available to use that contract space for a player that you wanted to pay. So RJ Barrett is one salary slot because remember he just got an extension for over five and 100+ million.
Yeah.
And then you got Quickly, who was still on a rookie scale deal. You're bringing in OG Anunoby, who's on his second deal because he's 26 and he's eligible for an extension right now. So that money that RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly were going to take up in the salary cap, you can now give it directly to OG Anunoby in his re-signing, because this is essentially the Knicks have to re-sign Anunoby for this trade to essentially be that they got something back long term. There's a number of different directions I wanted to go in. I really am counting on your feedback on a lot of these things that I'm going to say and do, because I have been, like I said, trying to be more organized with how we approach this. Here's the first thing I wanted to do. I took something from social media because I kind of had a feeling that what you were going to say, and it was very well said. But here's what somebody who is a constant poster of their basketball feelings said about a take like yours. Anybody saying this is a bad trade, which you didn't say, but you did kind of say it. Can we agree on that? That there are some facets of it that are not necessarily good, but let me just read
it.
Anybody saying this is a bad trade doesn't know basketball. Scoring wasn't the issue for the Knicks. They picked up their best defender that fast. Boy can shoot too. This quote is so perfect because what did you say, C. Green? What did you say was the Knicks' problem?
Shooting.
Scoring. Scoring wasn't their issue.
Yeah.
But here is somebody saying that if you think this trade is bad, the Knicks' problem wasn't scoring. But here are you saying the Knicks' trade isn't so good because the Knicks' problem is scoring. So it's amazing how this trade can be so divisive. And everybody still does understand that the likelihood of having OG Anunoby on the team does kind of fix some issues. When this initially happened, you and I went back and forth in our text conversations, and I was like, man, I don't know why the Knicks is doing this. You know, I really don't see a good overall outcome. But then I look at how the Knicks are constructed and how the Knicks are constructed and how they do business. This is perfect. The problem with what they had, like you pointed to, was that RJ Barrett wasn't going to reach his ceiling with the type of team he's playing on. So the Knicks are basically saying, We're locked in with Jalen, which is fine because everybody in New York is happy that the Knicks are locked in with Jalen. But what they're also saying is that we're good with Julius before we're good with you.
Of course.
Because in order to make R.J. Barrett be the best R.J. Barrett he could be, he could not share the court with a Julius Randle type of player. Mm-hmm. It's just true.
No, I definitely don't disagree. Yes, but again, I think they looked at it from the standpoint of we could get a better wing defender, a mm-hmm. better wing shooter, and still keep our two-time power forward all-star. And obviously, you're going to keep your point guard, who's probably going to be an all-star.
We've been saying all year that the market for Julius Randle does not exist.
Yes.
And the salary slot that he has is actually, remember, it's just true. He's outplaying his salary.
Of course.
Even at 20-plus million, which is where he's at, because he's under 30 mil, mm-hmm. he's giving you plus 20 and plus 10. Yeah. That type of production, you're not going to go out and he's trade
and he's yet. And he's under 30 years old.
You're not. So with that level of production, I think the Knicks saw the over-under on what you stand to lose gain and know you can't bring that back in. There's no player out there that you swap Julius Randle for, or really a combination where you get fair equity at that dollar value.
Mm-mm.
So if you can't trade Julius and R.J. Barrett together, you trade R.J. Barrett.
Yeah.
So initially, I did feel like, you know, why, and, you know, I'm not a fan of the Knicks doing it, but it's a stance in the direction that they're willing to go. At least they're saying something. At least now there's no longer a, we don't really know how the Knicks feel about this guy. We don't know how the Knicks feel about we know now. We know now. And whether or not it was a situation where they didn't feel like they could bring quickly back, the fact of the matter is the trade is evident that they had a plan if they couldn't. And they executed it. Of course, Emmanuel quickly is an asset to whatever team he goes to as long as he gets, you know, the type of featuring that he got in New York. It was kind of like you put Emmanuel quickly out there with four other guys. That's literally what it sometimes felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Even though those guys were serviceable NBA players and good at what they do, it was kind of built around allowing Emmanuel quickly to do his thing and then, you know, dish to other people as a secondary resource in that offense. And like you said, you can't have Jalen Brunson, who is, you know, right in that 6'1", 6'2", range, and Emmanuel quickly on the floor together and expect to be able to get stops against elite wing players. So you got a guy who's an asset, but he's just not an asset for your team.
Mm-hmm.
R.J. Barrett. I got to get to my computer first, but I'm trying to give Zion these noodles that he wants so that he can mm-hmm. stay healthy. So just give me a second. But there's a lot to be said about R.J. Barrett. So I'm going to start with one of the things that I read from that same person who said, if you think this is a bad trade, you don't know basketball. He also said that R.J. Barrett is a bust.
Well, I mean, the only point he makes that sounds sufficient is, yes, his time in New York. But to say somebody's a bust, I mean, they would have said that about Chauncey.
R.J. Barrett is a bust?
No, what I'm saying is...
In New York?
In New York, if you're a top three pick, and again, this is also the very tricky delusion in Knicks fans. Knicks fans think because you become a Knick, you are supposed to be a lot better than we've ever seen and heard you play because this is New York. So that's a delusion. Because no mm-hmm. one has come to New York, maybe except Melo, and the first half. Amari Stoudemire before Melo came.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are the only Knicks that came to New York that actually mm-hmm. surpassed or well
played
New
up
York,
to
played up to yeah played up to what the fans wanted, right? And okay. Melo, to a degree, did not, because at some point there were some people out there wanting Melo to get up out of there, right? But I don't think that was necessary.
Yeah, but that wasn't right from a fan standpoint.
Yeah, that wasn't a fan standpoint. That was more of management.
Yeah, that's the tail end of his tenure where things got really nasty.
So those are the only two free agents or trade people got traded. because you can't talk about drafts because the Knicks have not drafted well or held on to their drafts. I mean, they said Mitchell Robinson was the only Knick to play on since David Lee, I think it was, that actually got to sign a second contract with them and play his second contract that was drafted by the team. So the Knicks don't hold pieces. And the players that they do draft don't necessarily perform. Sometimes it's because you don't draft the right people, i.e. Frank Ntilikina in front of Spider Mitchell or in front of numerous other players, or Jordan Hill in front of numerous other players. So
Jordan Hill, bro.
I'm just saying, you draft players, you have a history of drafting the wrong type of player that fulfills New York City. In other words, I'm saying also too is this: fans expect these guys to, because you had a stellar college career, you're supposed to come in and dominate. RJ was a great college player. He was arguably the number one or number two high school recruit coming in, and then he also arguably one of the top. He was a top three pick, and people stood on that him as a number three wasn't a bad move. So when somebody says that he's a bust, it's almost an unfair assessment because you're saying he's a bust, but yet he's averaged 20 points a game. It's like, how are you a bust at 20 points a game? Yes, you're not also at the top three. You're supposed to be the man, but where he got drafted to, there was no way he was going to be the man. And I don't know if RJ could be the man. Like, so when me personally, when he got drafted, I didn't see him as, oh, he's going to change the franchise around. So my ceiling for him was not the savior of New York. Now, a lot of people that say that he's a bust, they might have thought that he was going to be the savior of New York because, hey, we finally got a top three draft pick. And look, hey, the top players, the players that was picked in front of you, one of them your teammate, is an all-star. I started to become a household name. The guy got drafted right after. He's an all-star. He's one of the faces of the team. Darius Garland got drafted right after RJ. He's an all-star, and he's one of Cleveland's focal pieces, right? But that might change too. That's up to subject to change. But again, when you look at, hey, you're the only guy that's not making an all-star game, you're the only guy who is under the microscope that other players are not, and people are assessing your game and they don't see the growth, because again, you have no go-to move, you're not a consistent shooter, you have a hard time going to your right, You're an okay defender, but it seemed like each year you're getting a little bit worse, so you weren't even able to hang your hat on that. So the inconsistencies that come, can you be a bust? I don't think you're necessarily a bust, but I think you could. That's an argument you can make when, as a Knick. Now, what he does with his career, he might turn into a Chauncey Billups, who at the beginning of his career, people thought he was on a bust because he was on so many different teams. And then once he found his home in Detroit and Denver, now he's arguably Hall of Fame. So, I can't really say he's a bust overall, but his time in New York is, can you look at it like a bust? Again, that's all about what your expectations of him were.
Okay. So we're going to play a quick game. Like I said, I got this all written down, what I'd like us to do with this run through. I'm going to say RJ Barrett or a name, and you're going to tell me in revisionist history if the Knicks should have drafted and kept that player instead of RJ Barrett. You ready?
Go ahead.
DeAndre Hunter.
RJ Barrett.
Say keep or pass. Say keep or pass.
I would say keep. I would keep RJ instead of Hunter. That's what you're saying? Yeah, I would keep RJ instead of Hunter. And then maybe that's unfair to Hunter because Hunter's always has been
Let's
hurt.
Keep going.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
Keep going. Like I said, with where they are now, with revisionist history, we're going to go back and say, who would you take, knowing what you know up until this point about this player? I'm not going to go very far, and I'm going to try to go as quickly as can. You already said Darius Garland. You mentioned him because he was actually drafted two players after RJ Barrett. So are you keeping RJ? DeAndre Hunter was drafted before Darius Garland. Darius went.
Okay, my bad. Okay.
But we're going to keep going because I want to address these things because what you're doing is what everybody on social media is doing. So we need to give them a fair understanding of how all these different ideas need to be confronted and give you an opportunity to see a perspective. So Darius Garland, keep or pass?
I'm I'm getting Darius Garland.
Okay, so right now, out of the two guys drafted after RJ Barrett, the only one you're willing to keep so far is Darius. Next person, Jarrett Culver. Keep or pass?
RJ.
Coby White.
RJ.
Jackson Hayes.
RJ.
Rui.
RJ.
Cam Reddish.
RJ.
Cameron Johnson.
RJ.
PJ Washington.
RJ.
Tyler Hero.
I would take Hero.
Okay. Romeo Langford.
RJ. RJ.
Sekou Doumbouya.
RJ.
Nickeil Alexander-Walker.
RJ.
Goga Batazni.
RJ.
Luka Samanik.
RJ.
Matisse Thybulle.
RJ.
Brandon Clark.
RJ.
Grant Williams.
RJ.
Darius Bazley.
RJ.
Ty Jerome.
RJ.
Dylan Windler.
RJ.
Mufondo Kabengele.
RJ. Yo, some of these names sound like you're making them up, but go ahead.
Let's keep going.
RJ. Poole. Yeah. RJ.
Keldon Johnson.
RJ.
Kevin Porter Jr.
RJ.
And I'm going to stop with the first pick in the second round because that's what the Knicks just gave Toronto, Nicholas Claxton.
I would take RJ.
But you see how there's about three or four players total.
Yeah. But these are all of the
players
that okay
that the Knicks could have drafted instead of RJ Barrett at number three. Mm-hmm. Of those players, and I went through about 27, there were three you hedged on. You said Tyler Hero.
Uh-huh.
You said Garland. Darius Garland. That was it. Two.
Now, that is somewhat misleading because if the Knicks could have possibly traded down from that pick, they could have gotten more picks.
Okay, we're not doing
that. And I'm just saying,
we're not doing that. Now, if we're going to get this.
Gotcha. It's all good. Hey, it's all good.
That was crazy.
I'm just saying, in that draft.
What duffel bag did you go into to pull that trick out?
I'm just saying.
That was sick.
Son, I'm just saying.
Yo, that's like when the white dude hop on the court and you ain't know he could dunk. That was wild what you just did, son. By the way, other prominent names. Cody Martin, Daniel Gafford, Taylor Horton Tucker, Bobo, Terrence Mann were all drafted after RJ Barrett. Jalen McDaniels as well.
But that's the thing. That's the problem is you don't consider RJ a bust in any of those players, right? Because when you start looking at who he got drafted in front of. And I'm just presenting the arguments
that are being told. So I don't feel that way. I think it's disrespectful.
I wouldn't call him a boss.
I'm giving that perspective so that as a Knicks fan, you could do exactly what you just did as far as who would you take and put on the roster in favor of RJ in regards to who was available. Now let's do it the other way. In 2016, with the third pick, the Boston Celtics took who?
The Boston Celtics took Jason Tatum.
They took Jaylen Brown with the third pick in the 2016 draft. In the 2017 draft, with the third pick, who the Boston Celtics traded the first pick out, they took.
Go ahead. I got an idea where you're going. Go ahead.
The 2018 third pick is another guy who was actually good. Let me see. 2018. Because I know, oh my goodness. I had this up. 2018 pick. I think Shai went third, or was it Marvin Bagley? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was Bagley. Bagley sounded like he was top.
I thought Bagley went. No, that Luka is the third pick in the 2018 draft.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, we already know that.
RJ Barrett was the 2019 third pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two that follow are LaMelo Ball and Evan Mobley.
RJ's probably, I think that's kind of a fair assessment.
The best player argued in NBA history was the third pick in the 1983 draft. Guy named Michael Jordan. The ceiling and floor for a number three draft pick is crazy.
That's insane.
This kid, for 5 years, has given you 18, 5, and 3, no matter who you trotted out there as the coach, no matter who you trotted out there as the front office, no matter who you trotted out there as the point guard, no matter who you trotted out there as the team's best player. Has he improved as a shooter? No. Did he have an uptick at the beginning of the season? Yes. But for his career, he's a mid-low 30 three-point shooter. You spoke to his other limitations. Can't really create for himself. Can't really go to his right hand. Doesn't really look like it's a situation where he can be the best version of himself as a New York Knicks, as a New York Knicks, because of how they're currently constructed. We said this so long ago. I said it. I said, you're starting three left-handers. Like genuine left-hand dominant players who shoot and dribble prominently with their left hand. There's only one side of the court you can really put them on where they can be effective. And it's unfortunate, but it's just true. I agree. Somebody had to get moved, and we found out who was the person that was like. I thought that the Knicks would keep his contract because it was cap-friendly, and you can build around his youth. What is Randall, 28?
I believe 20, so.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. He's closer to he's one of the elder statesmen as far as starting players on that Knicks team. But again, we spoke to the fact that his contract was going to be hard to move anyway because you're not going to get a return on what you're giving out. So it didn't make sense for them to move him. So now I'm not really mad that they did it. I'm just kind of disappointed that the Knicks are going to see a guy possibly blossom and realize what they didn't make available to him that they could and should have if they really wanted to get number three pick type of potential out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if you said, you put a guy out there, you tell him that you got all this potential, you got to force him to fail in order for him to actually realize what's broken. The way the Knicks are currently constructed, RJ Barrett was a piece in the machine, but he wasn't made to be tested to see if he could be a bigger piece. Because the guy who you're being tested to be a bigger piece is Julius Randle. He's the one who gets all the room to fail, and he's the one who all the fans are able to look at and point at as the cause of failure because what? He's always got the ball in his hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or now Jalen has kind of like policed it to a level where, you know, he'll go out and take 50 because he's not giving the other team. He's taking 50.
Mm-hmm.
But back to this trade. Back to this trade. So let's talk about moving forward for the Knicks. What needs to happen for this trade to be a win outside of OG resigning? Because if OG gets hurt, you probably don't want to resign him.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's going to be ugly. It's going to get ugly for him. I think that is a possibility. Obviously, I think you don't make that trade unless you have some type of consensus on him re-signing with the team, some type of confirmation. You don't do a trade like that, especially that's a player that you coveted since last year, maybe even from the year before, when there was talks about him possibly being moved. I think that standpoint from the Knicks, again, time will tell. I think that, again, when you're in a league where you need bench scoring, because your starters are so top heavy with Tibbs, I don't know. I think quickly being moved. I don't think there's much of a dysfunction or much of an issue with RJ being moved. I think it's the fact that you included quickly, who is pretty much your bench scoring. So you now go from, you know, having one of the top six men in the league to now your bench is what, you know, a bunch of guys that can hopefully, by committee.
So who's the starting five now for the Knicks? You bring the out Jalen at the one.
You're going to bring Jalen. You're going to DiVincenzo. You're going to put OG right now. Then you can put Jaylen Brown, I mean, Julius Randle, and you're going to have Hartenstein at the five, right? So then now your bench is going to be Josh Hart, Quentin Grimes, Precious Achiuwa.
Who's your off the bench point guard?
That was Quickly.
But who is it now?
Now it's going to be maybe the Micah Flynn kid or McBride.
Do you swap Quentin Grimes into your starting lineup so that you can have DiVincenzo run the second team?
I think they moved Quentin Grimes out of the starting lineup because they didn't like the way he was progressing and the fact that he looked out there, sometimes he looked clueless. He would get the ball, or sometimes it was a hot potato or indecisive. Maybe they'll try that, but I don't know if they would just automatically give him give up that opportunity.
So do you have faith in the Knicks secondary ball handlers right now? Because, I mean, we know Tibbs will love to play Jalen Brunson 48 minutes a game.
Yeah.
If you allow him to do it.
Yeah.
But Jalen Brunson won't ever willingly come out of the game. So
no.
I mean, you'll have another Derrick Rose, Isaiah Thomas type of situation where you don't know when enough is enough, and then a guy just breaks down from usage.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I think they're going to use Deuce McBride for a little bit, or Michael Flynn. I mean, try to get Michael Flynn up to speed, but I think for right now, use Deuce McBride for, you know, again, for 5-10 minutes. You know, I think from a tip standpoint, that's a lot of minutes to give to a backup guy. And during the other times, you're gonna have to do that. I mean, at this point, unless they figure something else out, but again, they're gonna offset minutes more. But tonight they play Indiana, so we're not gonna be able to find that out.
And who's the backup point guard?
Yeah, we'll find out who that is.
Because Emmanuel quickly played 24 minutes a game.
Yeah,
this year. So your backup point guard, even with, you know, the situation where him and Brunson really shouldn't share the floor a lot together. But let's see. You guys got somebody named Charlie Brown Jr. on your team who's 26. Didn't even know he existed.
I haven't heard about him since Looters of New School, so I don't know.
I was thinking of the cartoon.
Wow. That's even older than what I was thinking.
Hold on a second. My son is dying from the spicy food. Is it that hot? Are you exaggerating? Because I can just give you something different to eat. If it's too hot, well, if it's fine, then all this theater about it being spicy is not necessary. It's either one or the other. If it's going to make you cough and cry like that, then I'm going to take it away from you. I don't want you hurting, son. You all right? You need some water? Okay, cool. Watching too many YouTube videos of people eating spicy chicken and now you want to act out. Anyway. Yeah, all I see, like you said, is Miles McBride available as a backup point guard.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how they'll do it for now. I really think this is the Knicks' start of trading because, let's be honest, how much is this trade doesn't move the Knicks from where they're at. It might make them –
Why not? Why did you make this trade if it doesn't move anything? Is it just to create available?
I think this has to be I mean, I'm thinking from the standpoint of this is one of is going to be another trade. This is just the first, or at least gives you that because again, if the Knicks are
current, what other assets do they have to trade?
They still have
the Knicks got other players.
They still have the Evan Fournier expiring contract. That's like what, $14 or $17 million. You still have a bunch of first round picks. You still have about four to five first round picks that you can move. You still have you could still try to upsell on Quentin Grimes, his youth, and try to, you know, you could do that. And then also you have that exemption, that medical exemption that they filed for Mitchell Robinson. So you have something else to move to get possibly, like, say, for instance, you could probably use one of those pieces to go get a Jordan Clarkson to go fill your bench scoring. And that right there would help your bench scoring. But again,
Jordan Clarkson, a guy who was essentially a high energy version of Evan Fournier. Remember, if you can't guard, you don't play for Tibbs.
Yeah, but
I'm pretty sure that's why Fournier quickly doesn't touch the floor.
Yeah, but Quickly's not the best defender.
Quickly wasn't a defender at all. He was
exactly style. Exactly. But that's the point.
But when you're, but when you've got a gun to your head, and somebody needs it, you need up. Listen, I'll never say that Thibodeau don't play guys who can score. Thibodeau don't start guys who can score.
Yes,
and can't play defense. That's what I'll say.
Okay, so what
I'm saying almost like it's a rule of yeah. So I can imagine yeah, you can go get Jordan Clarkson because he'll allow for there to be one gunner out there.
Exactly, and then and that could be him who's already fitting in that role. Who's you know what I mean? So you're just and you don't have to trade much for him. You know what I mean? Like it's not like oh wow, we got to go get rid of you know first round draft. We got to get rid of the old X6 players. You can go get him. To go fill, to go, hey, I need you to come in and be just do what you do in Utah. Be the sixth man, try to get sixth man in the year, you run a second unit. He's like, all
but
right.
You brought it. You brought it to the attention, so I want to make sure we cover it because like I said, I have some of these things written down. You realize the Knicks are literally 15th and 15th in offensive and defensive rating? Literally. So even though their scoring defense is highly rated. The actual defensive efficiency is middle of the league and their offense is middle of the league. That's crazy. I think that their defensive ceiling does increase when you add a guy like OJ and Anobi to your team because now you've got, all right, you're guarding Kawhi. You're guarding, you know, just keep naming them.
The elite, you're guarding the best. Yeah. Yeah. Right. You have a better answer for Tatum or a better answer for Jaylen Brown. You have a better answer for switching out to Dame. You have a better answer for who else is out there? I mean, you have for all those top tier three players, Luka comes into town. You have a better a defender against them. Mm-hmm. And he's a lot better than RJ Barrett defensively. It's not like he's barely better. No, he's much better.
He's significant, clear, but yeah. He's a clear 5-tool defensive level.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So you have that defensive play, and again, as a Tibbs guy who likes to preach defense and getting stops, OG's a perfect player for that setup.
Yeah, and he's going to sit in the corner and take his open three.
Exactly.
And he's not going to complain.
Yeah. So, I think he'll probably be happy with the same amount of touches that RJ was getting. Like, because
RJ got enough touches to get him 18 a game.
Exactly. And I think OG's situation.
And he can shoot from an entirely different spot on the court because he's right-handed. So you can put him on the right corner. You can't put RJ Barrett on the right corner.
No, you couldn't.
You could put him on the left corner. But guess what? You put him on the left corner and now Julius Randle can't get an ISO from the top left hash, which is where Julius Randle lives.
Yeah.
Whereas Jalen Brunson, he lives on the right-hand side of the court. So now Jalen Brunson don't have a kick-out partner because guess what? You can't put RJ Barrett on the right wing. Well, you can put OG Anunoby in either corner if you want and run those sets. So, again, it goes back to the simple basketball logic that I spoke to earlier when we spoke about how the Knicks are constructed. And I can see how this makes sense. I'm not mad at the Knicks making a trade that makes sense. I'm only disappointed in, like, what you said. You send out 33 points. You get OG Anunoby, who's not guaranteed. You give up a draft pick, which means that Toronto basically told you whatever you're trying to give us right now in these two players isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
How? Is this because y'all got a lawsuit going?
Mm.
That Toronto was able to hijack y'all for essentially the first pick in the second round. This Detroit pick is, I know I'm, you know, we don't make a big deal out of picks. We just did. Mm-hmm. You know how many teams would love to have Nicholas Claxton?
Mm-hmm.
On a second round draft pick contract?
Yeah.
NBA is different nowadays. You get those Cam Miss guys in 1-5 range, because that's where we stop with Garland. Mm-hmm. You get those top miss guys in that 1-5 range. Everything from 5 to 30 is depending.
Mm-hmm.
Situation and the player.
Yep.
And then you get to that second round, and these are all the guys that everybody knows can play, but there's a question to them for a given reason.
Exactly.
And you get another 3 or 4 of these guys in the second round of every draft. And you give Toronto a guy where Masai is still a GM and is pretty good at identifying talent and seems to be the only guy who knows African basketball players that can play before they get here, a chance to grab another one. I'm telling you, when some Kumbaku spear chucker winds up getting drafted, in the first pick of the 2024 draft by Toronto, and then he becomes the next Giannis or something, the Knicks are going to be like, ah! But for now, I'm concerned because we spoke about it earlier. The Knicks are going to make a move to stay afloat. Let's go ahead and give the Knicks a healthy roster. Swap back Mitchell Robinson into this situation. Has their ceiling really improved much? Just from a starting five basis? I don't think so.
I mean, it got better. In their standpoint, they got better defensively. Because
they
now
got better defensively. Okay, so you trade off 18 for 15.
Yeah.
You're saying that that's what I'm saying. He's going to swing the defensive needle 3 points lower? Because that's what he would need to do.
Yeah, but that's...
They have to become 3 points a game better on defense with him there, with the offensive drop-off that they're losing, just from natural margin.
Well, that's why I was saying, for RJ OG standpoint, when you add Quickly, who is your top bench player and one of the top 6 men in the league, that's where you start questioning the trade. Because now,
who else could the Knicks have taken off Toronto's hands to make this more even? Let me go to their roster, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Give you an opportunity to, because we just did So let's look at their roster. Righty, I'm almost there. Obviously, I'm on a Windows 4 machine or a dual core.
What? So good. This? It might be dollar beyond. So sorry.
Factory, no retail. Ew, NBA.com uses pictures and all this other. Okay, so you had mentioned the Gary Trent.
Mm-hmm.
You got Fat Joe's favorite player. You know, Grady, last name is Richard. They have a Jalen McDaniels on their team. Are there like two Jalen McDaniels?
I guess so.
Jalen McDaniels that was on the Timberwolves?
No, because that Jalen McDaniels that's on the Timberwolves is still on the Timberwolves.
Wild. Okay. You obviously weren't going to get Scottie Barnes, Jontay Porter, Precious, Garrett Temple, Schroeder, the newly signed contract, Jakob Poeltl, Thaddeus Young. You did get back Malachi Flynn, so I guess that's the backup point guard that's supposed to be replacing Quickly. You could have taken, or these are the other options, Marquise Noel, Chris Boucher,
mm-hmm.
Your cousin Otto Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You already mentioned Gary Trent Jr. Christian Coloco. You weren't going to get Siakam.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I said that's the only reason I had mentioned Gary Trent, because he would give you more spacing on the floor.
Yeah, and he was shooting his normal career numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, I know,
he's in the middle of a super slump, I think, this year.
He's definitely not. But again, I'm just saying, you would at least provide some shooting and a bench player who would who could possibly say, hey, we need you to be our sixth man. Mm-hmm. We know you don't have a problem shooting. Well, you would know you would
have done
that
before.
Exactly. So it would almost be like, okay, because we can't ask Precious Achiuwa or Jonathan or Josh Hart or Quentin Grimes to say, hey, guys, when you guys get in the game, we need you to start shooting. You see how that is in balance? Does it make sense? Like, all of a sudden, Quentin Grimes, who's been afraid to shoot, is going to start shooting a lot more now?
But I think that a part of Quentin Grimes' issues with scoring are attributable to who he's on the floor with. When you know that for the fifth option, it kind of affects different players differently.
Yes, no, of course.
Some people are cool. Like, look at how seamlessly Porzingis has gone from. Because there used to be a time where Porzingis didn't smell the ball, not see it.
But that's also years injury and reality setting in for him.
Humbling,
not when you're not when you're a top 10 pick, as in Grimes was, who feels like he's being underutilized, which he could have some valid points and validity to what he's saying. But the only thing is,
he said this.
He did make mention of he feels like when he gets the ball, there's only a few seconds left in the shot clock, and he's not able to. What did he say? He said when he gets the ball, he's almost being like he has to force to shoot it because there's not much time left on the clock. So it's almost like they're giving me the ball. Of course, I'm not shooting well because I'm only getting a few shots a game, and look when I get it. So he's definitely making mention to that. And again, when you see him on the court, he definitely does not look comfortable out there.
Oh, wait. I appreciate you bringing this up because this is, again, I'm not always got a, you know, my finger on the pulse to the Knicks. Here it goes. Quentin Grimes was openly frustrated with his role, and he added that it's tough to find a rhythm when he rarely touches the ball, stands in the corner, and gets subbed out after missing one shot. This was on December 5th. So this is just trying to get in the
not
rhythm.
Not even 30 days the biggest ago. Thing.
I'm a rhythm player. I'm not someone that's just a catch-and-shoot, three-point shooter that really just only does that. That's not really what I do. I'm more someone who can get in the lane and find guys and stuff like that. And I'm capable of making shots.
So, in other words,
you don't have. Now, let me finish. This is okay. Good. Mm-hmm. When you don't have a rhythm like that, you don't feel included. It's just sometimes that's tough not touching it and having to touch and shoot. So, it's definitely something I'm working on, and hopefully, I'll get in a better rhythm. God damn.
So, that means Quentin Grimes, you got the green light because you in the set. You right now, they got rid of quickly. Who, and depending on how you were looking at things, was. Might have been a person that's taking some of your shine. So now it's time to shine if you're going to shine.
Let's see it.
Yeah.
So that's, now that's
now
that's
it's time to show and prove.
Episode.
Especially
now
today.
The title of this episode. It's the Quentin Grimes trade.
This is, first of all, when they play tonight, when they play in a few hours, matter of fact, they play in about an hour. When they play, the Pacers in about an hour, my man better he better have at least 10 shot attempts. At the bare minimum, you have to have 8 in about 4 free throws. At the bare minimum, 8 shot attempts. Because
you're saying,
some for Grimes.
He's supposed to go out there and be like the Ben Simmons we all have been waiting for. That's what he needs to go out and be, right? Just shoot anything.
No, what I'm saying is you if you get in the game, you can't be like, yo, quickly's not letting
I need
me.
To get in the rhythm.
I need to get in the rhythm. You coming off the bench and you know you're 6 minutes out of there. This is your time to become 6 man of the year player because you know what? Your goals and aspirations as a Knick or as an NBA player will go right down in down the toilet if you don't take advantage of this opportunity. This is if Quentin Grimes, and I don't know if you're ever going to hear this podcast, if this is anybody's opportunity, you can't say that in less than 30 days. 30 days later, an opportunity comes for you to do more. If you get put in this situation to do more,
listen,
you have to produce.
You got a bed, you better make it. Because if you shit the bed,
your NBA career, you're going to be a journeyman. Because it's at some point, see, the thing about what people don't realize is, depending on the player, they become, you know, what you mentioned the word bust before is, because of lack of confidence. And again, when you're a young player, confidence is key because you're doing all of this. And if you let your confidence go in the pros, forget about it. You're going to have more DMPs. Exactly.
Repetition.
And you're not going to go train as much. Exactly. So if I can't do that, that's when you become 5-6 years in the league. You're on 8 teams and you're still trying to figure it out. They just had a guy named Kevin Knox on the Knicks that's more multiple teams, that's still, you know, top 10 pick that wasn't able to produce and is in different situations and is still not able to produce. Seems like a nice kid, never heard nothing bad about him, but I have not seen him perform productively, consistently on the court. So, Quentin Grimes, if you don't want to see that, then you better step up.
Yeah. And I agree with that because, you know, I'm big on speaking your mind, but being prepared to own what comes with the consequences of speaking your mind. I didn't know that he had actually put it, you know, let that hit the paper, let that hit the press, that's how he felt. So I kind of have to give Thibodeau some credit for, you know, not making that, because that could be a big deal because that's open disrespect. So... Mm-hmm. And we've seen how Thibodeau will handle this. He's quiet. You know, when the whole Jimmy Butler situation went down, he never really, like, pulled his gun out and tried to go back and forth with Jimmy. He just kind of, like, rolled with what happened, even though we all know that behind the scenes and in front of everything, he was a GM as well. So he kind of had to do that. But even here in New York, when players have said things, I will say he's been pretty consistent. Because remember, Evan Fournier cried in the offseason. He cried. Yeah. I spoke with him. He's like, yo, trade me, man. I don't even think they love me there. I don't know why they're keeping me. You know, if they don't want me, they can just let me go. And they kept him.
Mm-hmm. Kept him. So, yeah. So this trade, until this trading deadline, watch.
Yeah. Yeah, you here, bro. Asset, liability. Go sit down over there, asset. So I give credit to Thibodeau in that regard. But, yeah, with this type of situation, I do, and the type of coach that Thibodeau is, I can see him literally saying that to Quentin Grimes in his funny, weird, gruffy, you know, voice that he got.
Exactly.
Quentin, you better go out there and drop 50 the way you were talking crazy in the press. Here's a shot, because I promise you, you won't even smell the G League if you can't score.
Yep. Exactly. Watch you hit him. Fournier is going to take your minutes.
And Fournier over there, wee. Yes, I mean.
Exactly.
Yo, Fournier is like, please trade me to Minnesota. Please, let me just go play with Rudy, man. Let me go play with Rudy, bro.
Yo. This is an opportunity. Like,
yeah. It would be interesting to see, because I think it does boil down to it when we actually really think about it from a logistical standpoint of basketball. Tibbs is pretty much exhibited, like, I will only play one guy off the bench who doesn't or isn't really good at defense. Before, quickly, it was Derrick Rose. But as quickly ascended and became a more efficient scorer than Derrick Rose, he demoted Derrick Rose. And then now, but I always thought that Grimes was rated A in defense. I thought he was one of those guys.
But his defense started, again, confidence. Confidence. When you still feel like you have the opportunity to be something on the offensive end, you're going to give a little bit, you're going to play better defense because you feel like you're going to get an opportunity to shoot the ball. But when you feel like you don't have no opportunity to shoot the ball, your defense is going to, like, why am I playing all this defense so I can run down the court and sit in the corner? I ain't that. Especially when you're young, you're thinking and you see your peers, like, man, he's the top 10 pick just like me. Why he getting able to shine offense? I got to sit here in the corner and possibly get the three, or fans get mad at me because I don't make the one-for-one attempts, or I'm 0-for-3 and the first time I get the ball. Or Kevin Durant calls me out talking about guys like me shouldn't even – he never took a free throw attempt all season. Why is he getting a chance to score? Like, nah, guys are going to do that because these guys don't work in the offseason on their game just to sit in the corner. Now, some guys do, but if he's still that young, he's thinking in his mind, hey, I want to average at least 10 points a game. Well, now's his opportunity to, because if his defense, I guarantee you, if he feels that he's going to be on the offensive end receiving the ball, I guarantee his defense will step up. That's how most players are. You even some of the poorest defenders, when they get going offensively, they're going to play a little bit of defense because they know they're going to get the ball back a little faster. You know what? I'm going to play some defense, especially if you start getting into that rhythm of scoring. Now you want to let it fly. Now I'll play some defense. I'm going to get the stop. Show coach that, you know, I'm the right person for this opportunity. You don't need to go get a Jordan Clarkson. You don't go need to make another trade. I'm that dude. Or, you know what, let me start showcasing for other teams that, hey, I can still play. Don't forget me. You know, come make that phone call. Tell my agent I'm available. Because in a nutshell, that's kind of what he said in the press, kind of saying if he's not being utilized, that's his way of inadvertently telling his agent, hey, start putting the pressure on. Let's get up out of here. If they're not gonna play me at season's end, get me up out of here. I ain't trying to be in street clothes or in the G League. I'm trying to play. So, you know, it is what it is, man. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, the Quentin Grimes trade is officially on the clock, man.
Yeah.
They moved all these pieces so that they could better feature Quentin Grimes. We finally figured it out. I'm glad. I mean, it took us an hour, but we got there.
This is all about Quentin Grimes.
It's about unlocking Quentin Grimes, man.
Now calling Quentin Grimes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an interesting take. And like I said, it was a fun journey today to get to that point where we could actually squarely put somebody on the fire. I think the Knicks front office, their feet is to the fire for this. because you have to re-sign OG. So let's just be clear on that. No matter what, you have to sign. You either have to re-sign him or you have to have acquired something of value for what you sent out. The idea that the Knicks could have sent out the number three pick in the draft, whether it be RJ Barrett or whoever, the possible sixth man of the year, and what could essentially be a low-level first-round pick, and get nothing but Precious Achiuwa and Malachi Flynn.
I thought his name is Malachi.
Malachi Flynn.
Wow. We're about to find out in a couple of days if he's going to be Malachi or Malachi, because that's a whole different person.
Well, I remember, I think Malachi was one of the rappers in the rap. I can't remember what rap, but there was one of the dudes named Malachi, and that's why I've always read the name that Reed as Malachi as Malachi ever since, because I adjusted for that dude. I can't remember what rap.
Yeah, but you also remember Malachi, a.k.a. the Nutcracker from Group Home. So you want to be Malachi, who from a rap group you don't know, or Malachi?
See, now you're gonna make me look it up, but I ain't gonna do it on the podcast. So I'm gonna text you when I figure out who it was, why I know that, because it is definitely something pertaining to music that made me say it that way, and I just can't remember what.
But you know Malachi from Group Home, right?
Yeah, of course I know Malachi.
Exactly. Home, that's my point. He want to be remembered. He don't want to be forgotten.
Okay. So. Okay. So, what was homeboy from Group Home name?
Malachi.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay. After the podcast, look it up. We'll have a conversation.
All right.
That's literally the person that I was talking about.
Malachi. Like, Malachi is the same person as Malachi. That you referring to?
All right. See.
I'm just asking.
See, you, no. Asking. Now pull it up on your phone and look at how it's spelled. Go ahead.
But it's called Malachi. I remember him as Malachi.
Sure? You sure?
That's what he said his name was. Maybe he
I'm
was saying
his name. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing. Go look at it.
What did you look up? Group Home? Rap artist?
Just type it, because remember you said what his full alias was. He was Malachi the Nutcracker, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's spelled.
I mean, but you know,
is it spelled
you
know the same how, or spelled different? It looks like it's spelled slightly different.
Oh, it's spelled slightly different.
Yeah. So? You never know. He might have been named after him. His mom just switched the letter out.
I don't know. I definitely have to hear him say it now.
But that's who you were referring to, and you just can't remember.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember reading, because maybe that's what it is, that it reads phonetically one way, and he said it differently on wax. But it's the same person. So that's again, quite an ironic twist to it. But anyway, like, whoever this dude is, when he's in New York,
he better show and prove.
He better show and prove. Malachi and Malachi, both of y'all better score 15 a game.
At least let's give us 12 and 5 off the bench.
Yeah. But you know, let's go Quentin Grimes, man. Let's go Quentin Grimes. I didn't know he was that hungry. He got a whole table now. He got the whole table to himself. So
yeah, and if he's good, he can turn into a buffet.
Yeah, man. That's a good way of looking at things, man. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and bring this special edition Knicks Trade podcast to a close. Views from the Clutch will return at our first available moment, most likely at the dawn of 2024. So to each and every one of y'all, we want to say, make sure that y'all are safe in y'all transit towards the new year. We hope that y'all are able to enjoy yourselves in, you know, the best capacity you can, staying healthy. It's been a fun journey. Looking forward to what we're going to do next year with the remainder of this basketball season. As always, if you would like to join us, please do so by following us on any of the podcasting platforms we're hosted on, Spotify, Apple Music as an example. You can email us at viewsfromtheclutch@gmail.com. Tag us on social media on Instagram and Facebook. Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year. Peace.
Peace.